From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul.
The Dialogue team visited a toddler swim class at the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center. With chlorine in the air, kids of all ages running around, filled with nerves and excitement at the same time as they get ready for class. For the kids at this swim class, splashing around and taking lessons in the water is just a fun afternoon. But for the parents, it's more than that. According to the CDC, drowning is the number one cause of death for children 1 to 4 years old in the United States. You would think that water is a basic human right, right? But accessibility is not something all Americans had equal access to throughout history, in particular, African Americans. The CDC released data in May of 2024 that stated, more than 1 in 3 Black adults reported they do not know how to swim, compared to 15% of all adults. Additionally, 2 in 3 Black adults and 3 in 4 Hispanic adults reported never taking a swimming lesson. These national statistics made the Dialogue team question the reality that African Americans face with the historical fear of water. We spoke with some remarkable community members, parents, and kids on why reclaiming our history with the water is breaking generational trauma.
Well, I think a lot of the history, it stems from the very beginning of, you know, our ancestors, African Americans, Africans brought to America as slaves. But in Africa, they knew how to swim. They were very familiar with the water, and actually that was part of their livelihood. So it wasn't something that was, oh my gosh, this is a first.
That's Latasha Key, a PhD candidate at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She has focused her dissertation around Black youth and swimming. She's creating inclusive aquatic spaces. Now, how does one do that, you might ask? Well, Latasha is designing a culturally responsive, sustaining swim lesson and a water safety program for African American girls. Focusing on teaching, empowering, and creating more opportunities for Black youth to learn and embrace all aquatic sports and careers has grown a community here in Champaign and Urbana, connecting youth and parents to redefine what swimming means for our race.
I created a name. It's called Safe Kids Swim. Strong, amazing, fearless, empowered kids swim. So the program educates, but also is a foundational program. And it allows everyone, no matter what ethnicity or race, you're just going to hear about and learn about individuals that are not usually well publicized. And so that's the main purpose of this program, is to help educate, but also teach the basic water competency skills. And so for me, that's why this history, we need to understand their history. And then from there, how do we build on that foundation? How do we continue to go forward? Because the children that were in this program, hopefully they'll want to be lifeguards. They'll want to be swim instructors. Yeah. They want to be on the swim teams.
Latasha has taught swim for over 35 years. And as a former athlete with a lifetime love for sports, she told me she wanted other BIPOC kids to be able to love it too.
So for me, this was so important. And once I really dove into the research and found that African Americans have the highest drowning rates out of all ethnicity and races, it was just time to put all those years of experience and teaching and creating what could be influencing and also making an impact for the girls, the Black girls. And then what happened after that was I was able to actually make sure that we had instructors that looked like the students that we're teaching. So that's the cultural responsive or cultural relevant portion. And then also being able to identify and spotlight and highlight African-American women and girls in aquatic spaces that are currently Olympians or soon to be Olympians and authors. And they were able to see different books that I was able to get from the library. So there's not a lot of material. So for me, it filled a gap, what we call filled a gap in literature. So that way we have opportunities. And one of my biggest components is how do we bridge this with the community? So that's why Pastor Wright was, you know, it was so important to actually work with an individual, an advocate in the community, but also how can we jumpstart? So the sustaining part is I'm hoping that we're able to continue this.
African Americans have the highest drowning rates in America, and it's not by accident, but by systematic design. We don't want our hair to get wet. Black people's bones are too heavy, so we can't float. Black people don't like to swim. These are some of the biased myths in the US, but the truth is in the history of slavery, Jim Crow laws, and systematic backlash during desegregation. I spoke with Latasha about the long history that has led to why this work is necessary today.
So when it came down to being, you know, as slaves in on the plantations, they actually what they had maritime slavery. And that's work done by Dr. Dawson. And he found that they could swim. And so they were used in that way. But also as we fast forward, you know, that was being passed down from generation to generation as slaves. And then it was no longer. And then we go to Jim Crow. Then we go to desegregation. So there's a lot, you know, the Great Migration. But there was a time where Black and white children did learn how to swim together. It was a brief moment. And then as we continue to go with desegregation, Jim Crow in the South, and, you know, and also it was very different from the South and the North. Mm-hmm. So understanding why this has happened and why the delay or the resurgence is now, how do we get our youth back into that? And then sadly, instead of desegregating, they just closed the pools and or filled them in. So there's been protests. The most famous one is in St. Augustine, Florida, where the manager poured bleach acid in the pool. And there were protesters. And that's a famous picture. So there's been a lot of history with why African-Americans or Blacks, because usually those terms are used interchangeably. So you may hear me say that. But, you know, individuals were like, well, we don't want to do that. So we'll just make our own private pool. It's membership only. So and some of that still has been happening even as early as, I think, the early 2000, mid 2000. So it's not 100% gone. And then where pools are located, they're not located in the neighborhoods where African-Americans live. They're not as easily accessible. Swim programs, even with assistance, unless you know about the assistance, they're still not affordable. So how do we break that? How do we make this affordable? How do we, you know, encourage girls, boys, parents to put this at the forefront instead of, oh, let's wait till it's summer and then we're just sitting in the waiting pool or we're kind of near the 3 foot.
To bring this history to a local level, public schools were segregated in Champaign and Urbana. Even the high schools, when they got pools in 1914, they didn't allow their Black students to swim until decades later. According to the African American Heritage Trail, this made the local Black community turn to natural water sources like lakes and rivers. Old Homer Park, for example, has been utilized by African Americans throughout the generations for recreational activity. This history of African Americans being systematically barred from public amenities has created fear around water for some Black families, and that has passed down throughout the generations. So, getting the word out about Latasha's program geared toward teaching Black youth how to swim took community effort. That's where James Wright comes in. I sat down with both him and Latasha to discuss the communal benefits of the swimming program.
My name is Pastor James Wright. I am a local pastor here in Champaign at Sheriff Temple AOH Church of God. I'm also a business owner. I own TechEd and Solutions. And I'm also the president of the Advocacy for Justice Committee, MLK Advocacy for Justice Committee for Champaign County. And the most important job is I am a husband and a father of three.
Two of your kids at the time, you were interested in putting them into the program that Ms. Keys is currently working on. You had one child join. You also had your niece and nephew join this program. You felt it was imperative for them to not only learn how to swim for fun and leisure, but for safety. You're a community advocate. You wanted your church to be involved with this project as well. Tell us why this was so imperative for you and your family's future to learn more about swimming and pass a statistic.
I guess it started well before my kids came about. My wife let me know that she didn't know how to swim when we got married. So I thought to myself, I said, this is crazy. We have to make sure you know how to swim or at least float, dog paddle, something. Because if something happens, which it has happened when I say to me and to my sisters when I was younger, went to the pool. And of course, most kids just like slapping around in the water. But they jumped in the pool at a 6 feet, and neither one of them knew how to swim. But I did, and I jumped in and saved them. Every time I think about that, how easy it is for a child to drown, I think about how easy it is for them to learn how to swim, right? And so I helped my wife. I taught her how to swim in our honeymoon. And with this program, when it came about, I was just ecstatic, right? My kids will know how to swim, how to help themselves in vulnerable situations. And not only that, but I mean, we look at each other in these different cities now, and we find that a flood can happen at any time. And I think that once we got into the program, it's why I really took a liking to it and wanted to do more of these, because she taught them not only how to swim, but, you know, some of the safety measures of when water comes to you and you have to save yourself. You gave them some skill sets that I think they'll be able to remember for a lifetime.
Yeah. Latasha, let's talk more about that.
Yes.
Building confidence in the water, because I think there's also this thing where you can just naturally be afraid of the water. It's a huge thing. And we know that it can take over. So when you're in the water with the little ones, just kind of walk us through.
Yes, definitely. Well, as a teacher, regardless of what you're teaching, especially if it's in the water, you want to make sure that if you are nervous about something, you don't show it.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring the excitement, you bring the energy. And I think for me, that's what I wanted the instructors as well as myself. So we did a classroom. So they were learning in a classroom. They saw the water safety videos. And then we had the cultural moments. So each day that we met, we highlighted whatever that week was supposed to be. And then I always prompted, okay, we're going to go and we're going to get into the pool. So the first week is that orientation. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
What do we do? They're excited, but they're nervous. And so we slowly ease them in. Everyone gets in. And then we do an evaluation. We do a test. Okay, can you float? Can you put your face in? And then that determines, okay, where do we need to start with each individual or a group? So we put them in the groups according to their level.
Mm.
And then, so it was 10 lessons. So basically, they progressed from, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can blow. But you're teaching them little bitty hints.
Yeah.
Chin to chest, blowing bubbles. You know, and then I was able to have a grant, the Illinois Physical Education and Recreation and Dance. I was able to get a grant. So I bought each of the students goggles, and the girls had swim caps. So if they had braids, we had special swim caps for them. So it was all encompassed. So they knew that this was something that was special and unique for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we continue to keep going through the different skills, they started getting confident. And then when you see another child, another student in your class, oh my gosh, they can float? Well, I want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say it's competition, but it's encouragement. It was awesome just to see everyone. And by the end of the 10 days, everyone could do 10 bobs. Everyone jumped in the deep. Everyone was either doing some form of floating, whether by themselves, with a little bit of help. But it was a success, in my opinion.
That's so fun. That's fun to see the growth. Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to say was I like her approach, because in most of the classes that kids have, parents are right there, right? We're right there and we're ready to, you know, jump in and help, you know, and save and no, don't do this and don't do that. And the first thing she did was she looked me dead in my eye and said, all right, Pastor Wright, we need you to leave. And I was like, huh? My wife and everybody else, we all looked at each other and she said, yep, you guys go stand out there, because it was a glass window. We can watch from a distance. And so I think what that did for the kids was to not just relax, but to recognize there's going to be times where mom and dad are not going to be there. And you have to learn on your own. And so I really appreciate that. It gave confidence. I think it might have given my daughter a little too much confidence, because anytime we go to a pool at a hotel or something like that, she is ready to jump in. And it was really cool to see her progress from the beginning, just only wanting to tiptoe, and to now trying to go underwater, show me that she can swim every opportunity. So it's pretty cool.
Like James, local Champaign mother Jasmine Martin also wants to make sure her son knows how to swim. I met up with Jasmine and her three-year-old Royal at the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center, where he was attending his second swimming lesson.
Second swim lesson. So tell us how it's been going and why you wanted to do this.
It's been going. It's been a little bit difficult. He's a little shy, not quite ready for the water. But getting there, I don't know how to swim, so I wanted to make sure that he knew how to swim. So I figure if we start early, that'll kind of eliminate the fear later on.
What was that motivation for you? You don't know how to swim, but you know and feel that it's important for Royal to learn how to swim.
It's kind of two-sided. So it's fun, it's exercise, so I think that's something that would be good for him. But I want to get away from the stereotype and the social stigma that all Black people don't know how to swim. That's true for some of us, but it's not true for all of us.
Tell me a bit more about encouraging and empowering Royal. It's his second swim lesson. He's a little shy of the water, but what does that journey look and feel like for you as a parent?
It feels good. It feels good. The first day we got here, he did not want to get out of the car. I'm afraid of the water. I don't want to. The instructors here were really, really supportive of him, which made me feel really good. I almost cried like a big baby when he actually got into the water, because he didn't want to go in. In the 30-minute lesson that he had, he went from not wanting to get off of the bleachers to walking from the water back to the bleachers. So it was really, really good to see. He was really confident afterwards. Today, I think just coming back is like just getting back used to it. But I like that. It built confidence in him, something he was afraid to do, and he accomplished it in 30 minutes, so that was really good.
So as a Black woman in America, knowing that there is this stigma that has been here for generations, that our community is afraid of water or doesn't know how to swim, what does that mean for you? Because this is, you know, breaking generational trauma in a way, and also knowing that a legacy lives so much deeper than what we've been told, but how we can craft our own ideals in swimming.
It means a lot. So I think that if you really delve into the history of why we typically don't know how to swim and see the structural racism behind it, you can kind of see that it's not that we don't want to swim, we never had access to be able to swim. My mother doesn't know how to swim, and she was born in 1965, I'm telling her age. But she grew up not knowing how to swim, and so she kind of passed that on to us. Like, it wasn't intentional, but it was just something that we kind of absorbed. And I didn't want that for him. I want him to be able to go comfortably into the water, and if mama falls in, he'll be able to save.
Can we talk about the power of representation for a second? I mean, seeing someone who looks just like you, defying all odds, beating any and all statistics, and breaking barriers. That's exactly what Jasmine and other parents like James want for their little ones. Latasha understood that assignment and dedicated herself to the mission.
I had a near drowning when I was their age, 7, 8, 9 year old, is the age group that was in this program. So mm-hmm. I had a near drowning at a birthday party. And thank goodness my parents put my brother and I, we were all in swim lessons. So if it wasn't for that moment, I don't know if I would be sitting here talking to you about with this program in swimming. So, I mean, I remember being the only person at a swim meet, and it was just me, and I didn't care because I was so competitive anyway. I was like, I'm going to win. I'm going to do this. So for me, it was fun. But as you get older, you realize, oh my gosh, I can be, you know, a role model. And I coached more or less track and field and running, but I still love giving back to the community, especially kids, anything sport related. And that's something I wanted to try and also make a point, is that the aquatic space doesn't have to be just athletes. I was an aquatics director. You don't see very many African-American female aquatics director, but I was an aquatics director. I've been a lifeguard as long as I've been teaching. So I enjoyed that, and I was influenced because I can do it and there's nothing to stop me. So I was also influencing other of my friends in high school to become lifeguards and teaching. So that impact is always there. So for me, that's kind of how I look at it, giving back.
Yeah. James, helping your community realize that they can redefine swimming and what that means, what is the hope you have for your family, for community, for African Americans in this country to know how beautiful it can be to learn about swimming and to just embrace this?
I think that thinking outside of the box is what I'm more interested in. Swimming is not a sport that most African-Americans families think about as an opportunity. And I think that with this, this opens a new door for them. You don't have to be pigeonholed in football or basketball or even wrestling for that matter. You see something different, right? And this not only is a skill set, you can't play your way through life at basketball and it saves your life, right? Swimming could save your life. Swimming could save someone else's life, right? We hear so many times how kids fall into a lake or a river and they found later on, you know, upshore, someone has tried to help them and they drown. And then the person who was trying to help them drown because not knowing how to do that properly, right? So I think that this was an eye-opening experience. And I wanted programs like this to continue to spread. I hate to say this, but like a good cancer, right? Something spread and each person or each family are able to have the same type of experience. So that's what I'm looking for in this. And I can appreciate Key's mindset in saying that I want to make my mark in this, right? And so if we can come together, community leaders, buy into this program, buy into the idea of our kids learning something other than what the status quo tells us that we ought to learn, I think this is awesome. How about we go and let this thing behind ourselves?
We have the watering can and they have the duckies you can play with. Do you want to go get that? Play in the water?
Yeah, can you stay with me?
I'm going to stay over there, okay? And watch you, okay?
Back at the pool, Jasmine shares a similar sentiment. She hopes that her son, Royal, may find confidence, community, and passion through swimming, even just at 3 years old. And that other Black children in the community will get that chance too.
I want him to have the confidence to try things even if he's afraid. So we talk about bravery a lot. He's only three, but I mean, you're never too young to learn these type of lessons. And if he can overcome being afraid of the water and actually enjoy the water, what more can he do when he's a young man? I have big dreams for him. He's a very big personality. He doesn't seem like it now. He's a very big personality and I can see him going really far. And I don't want fear to stifle his dreams.
Do you feel like locally or nationally there's enough representation of African Americans swimming or, you know, becoming athletes with swimming and just being in the water at all?
Not really. So again, this wasn't a pastime of mine or a special interest of mine. It's something I just kind of strayed away from. But even if you watch the Olympics or swim competitions, there's not a lot of representation. There's always the piece, we don't know how to swim, the fear of our hair getting wet, things of that nature. So I think kind of breaking those stereotypes is something good. But one of the things that people don't pay attention to with children is that if you see them, you can be them. And if we saw more Black kids swimming or adults swimming, then they can aspire to be that too.
What would be your hopes and dreams for future generations in swimming and also the local community here in swimming with African Americans?
I think building community around anything that we do. I mean, Black people tend to excel at most things. I think that if we have opportunity, is the biggest thing. If we have opportunity and representation, we tend to go really, really far. But if you don't have access to those things, how can you excel at them?
Do you have a personal experience with water outside of just not knowing how to swim?
Yeah, so I used to think I knew how to swim as a kid. So like 7 years old, we would go to the local pool, it was a dollar, and we would go and kind of splash around. And I thought I knew how to swim and tried to venture off into the deep end. And one of the bigger kids came and pushed my head under the water, as kids just kind of do. And I had a hard time recovering. And then I was just like, nope, I'm done. So that was nothing I ever wanted to venture off into. It's something I would like to do on my bucket list, so to speak.
What advice would you give to a parent not knowing where to start when teaching their kids how to swim? And just in general, how we feel about the water, but could redefine what swimming means for our community and just being comfortable with the water.
I think finding local resources. We live in a community that has so much going on. My husband and I, we grew up in Kankakee. We don't have the type of resources that they have in the Champaign-Urbana area, not even a tenth of the things that they have here. So just finding local resources and seeing what's out there. I mean, look at your local park district book, which is exactly what we did, or Google things, or they have a lot of mom groups on Facebook where you can find a lot of information. But don't let fear, or just because the information isn't right in front of you, just go look for it.
Jasmine and Royal, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
You want to say bye?
Bye.
Bye.
Back in the studio, James and I were curious to hear how Latasha is not only creating more opportunities for Black youth, but reminding all of us that when we see ourselves in aquatic sports and embrace that, the shift and impact in global hope is now amplified. And that right there is the legacy.
Really, I want them to be able to, I call it each one reach one. So if they can help another, if they can talk about it, and as this program begins to grow, and actually having junior lifeguards, actually having this program be the beginning, I think for me, I want to have the exposure. So if we can expose the youth, that would be wonderful. I had another group of girls that we actually went to the swimming trials in Indianapolis. It was wonderful. I mean, for them to actually see what this is, and then they're actually telling their moms, this is what we learned. Do you see anyone that looks like me, mom? I mean, that was like, wow, how do we continue to keep this fire going? Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what I would like to see. I want to have it grow, not just state by state, but national. How do I work and partner with not just community partners, but also national organizations. I look at it as right now a supplement to a current swim lesson and water safety program. How can my program, how can what I have in my vision reach a larger and impact a larger community? And the next step is actually teaching adults, teaching their parents. That is the next step, is how do we do that? How do we help instructors to be able to relate culturally? Right now, most instructors are not Black and brown. So how do we make them feel comfortable when they're teaching? How do we make the parents feel comfortable, mm-hmm. and grandparents when they see their child with someone that may not look like them? And I think that's what was a plus for this particular program. And so I want to make sure that we spread it throughout this country.
Latasha Keys and James Wright, thank you so much for joining me in conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Though Latasha's swim program has ended, it's only temporary. She's currently in talks with the YMCA and the Champaign and Urbana Park districts to see how they can get that program implemented permanently. As she journeys to be an assistant professor of professional practice in the School of Kinesiology at Louisiana State University, her work reminds us of where we've come from and where we're able to go. So water is a basic human right, right? This story has taught us about the reclamation and declaration of the power in learning how to swim and how it heals generations before us and empowers the youth for today and tomorrow. If you're interested in local swimming resources, swimming lessons for the youth are still available at the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center. Special thanks to Latasha Keys, James Wright, Jasmine Martin, and the Urbana Indoor Aquatic Center team. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.